This morning I'm going to do something that I have done several times before, maybe many times before. I'm going to flip-flop the messages. We're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. Reason being, there is a great emphasis in the 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18 on our senior citizens. And some of you senior citizens are not able to get back here in the evening, so you would miss your message. And I don't want that to happen. And so we're going to flip-flop it. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 4 this morning. And the topic of this sermon today, this message is futures, in quotations, futures and steadfastness. Now, we're not going to be able to complete the entire sermon in 2 Corinthians 4 this morning, but we will get to the major points that we need to get to for those who have retired from the workplace. And I'd like you to be thinking about that as we're going through the message this morning. I want you to be thinking about retirement. That time, the day that comes when you're no longer going to work and other things take its place on the calendar, and there's all kinds of things to get involved in and things to do. And we're going to be looking at this spiritually speaking in this text. And I want to say that the points that when I get to that part are coming from those that I have studied and read on and are favorite preachers and commentators, and they help me out. And I also want to say at the beginning that there's a reason why I have access to this information that I have access to study from, and that is there are individuals who have been used by the Lord to direct my steps in certain ways that brought this to pass. And so the first step or the first person that brought a lot of this to pass in my life and has helped me in my studies and preparations is Larry Smith. About 15 years ago, he learned from another church somewhere that they had a way of putting money into the pastor's salary that was specifically designed for the purchase of books, materials, and things to use in ministry. Therefore, when I would, our kids were, our girls were studying down there at Bob Jones University at that time, they had a huge bookstore. And that enabled me to go there and to gather materials to use in my studies. And on one certain day, I walked into the bookstore there, and I was searching for something, and I talked to a man who was an employee who worked in that bookstore. And he said, "Well, have you seen this?" And he took me about 20 feet over to a pile of cardboard boxes stacked up there with a little sign on them. And here they were a whole collection done by one individual. And so because of Larry and that man, I have that collection of books. And we are benefiting and have been benefiting for 15 years from that. And what I want to emphasize here is you have no idea the impact that you can personally have on someone else in their spiritual life. And, you know, none of us here today are going to be Charles Spurgeons and Tom Farrells and Jim Van Gelderens who reach masses of people. But one thing we can do like my father did, and that is we can impact people one person at a time for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I have found is when you as a Christian are doing that, when you come to the end of your life, there are going to be a pile of people that you have impacted for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no earthly idea when you stand before Jesus or kneel before him at the judgment seat of Christ, you have no idea what's going to happen. And to the extent that you have accomplished things for Jesus Christ, if you'll just meet people where they're at, one at a time, and help them in the faith, it's going to add up, and it's going to count for all of eternity. It is not counting for just the here and the now. Wouldn't you like to be the person who won D.L. Moody to Christ? Or Charles Spurgeon? Or some of these other great evangelists, men, women, missionaries of God that have come down through the years? Because, you know, you win them to Christ and you die and you go home to glory, and those people are serving, and in heaven your notebook is getting longer and longer and longer and longer for judgment seat of Christ day. So you just never know the extent of impact you can have on individuals. And so keep that in mind, and I also want you to be thinking as we go through this on retirement. Think about that subject of retirement. It's a subject that I think about almost not at all. I don't think that's coming. I will retire when God cuts my legs off or whatever he's going to do to remove me from the ministry. So I don't think a whole lot about that. Once in a while it goes through my mind and I think to myself, what are you going to do? You know, I when I have a day off and I'm sitting around for 2-3 hours, it's like, that's it. I'm getting back to work. I cannot stand to just sit around or go look at stuff or whatever you do. But be thinking about that as we consider futures and steadfastness. Let's pray and ask God's help and direction. Father, we thank you this morning for guiding us already in our service, and we see your hand at work. We see wondrous activities ahead of us, lots of things to be involved with for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, in these moments, we ask together that you will move in our midst, that you will speak to our hearts. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now. I need help, and I need your help. And so I'm asking you to fill me and to guide in this message today. Will you please make it profitable as we consider these verses in 2 Corinthians this morning? So we trust and depend in you for that. I'm not trusting in myself. We can't do that. All of our trust is in you and in you alone. So we look forward to what you're going to do in our midst today. We thank you, give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, I want to backtrack and just give a little synopsis of where we were in our last section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul has just explained how his weakness occasioned God's power, so that he was, four things, squeezed but not squashed, bewildered but not befuddled, pursued but not abandoned, and knocked down but not knocked out. That's the way the Apostle Paul lived his life. This weakness-power principle was, in effect, the life-death principle of Jesus Christ himself. So that Paul was carrying in his own body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the death, the process of dying of the Lord Jesus, with the result that the life of Jesus was manifested to others through his own mortal flesh. Now let me just throw this in now too as well. 2 Corinthians, the theme is strength in weakness, power in weakness. The hymn writer wrote, "I am weak, but thou art strong." That is the key to your success in the Christian life, one of the many keys to success, is to embrace your personal, physical weakness and embrace and allow God to unleash His power in and through your life. The effect was that as death was at work in Paul, life was at work in those who were hearing him. Paul's weakness was definitely the ground of God's power. Weakness is the ground of God's power. Now, beginning in the text we're at today, verse number 13, Paul explains what sustained him to continue preaching, teaching, traveling. And what was it that sustained him? It was his faith in God. It was his faith in God. Paul does this by invoking a phrase from Psalm 116, verse 10, which says, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 13, where that phrase is found. "We having the same spirit of," look, "faith, according as it is written," referring back to Psalms, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Psalm 116 describes for us in the life of King David when he almost died. But he did not die. God delivered him from death. And he says, "I spoke of it." Like David, Paul places faith at the very heart of things. Paul felt a spiritual kinship with the mighty King David because both of them have been delivered from death. Both of them. He is of kindred spirit in this. I want to go to Acts chapter 2. I've got several scriptures to read. Acts 2, 25 to 31. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." We see Paul with his kindred spirit, and he keeps talking about this, not just here in 2 Corinthians, but in Acts as well. Paul likewise believed, and so he spoke. As he preached God's word, as he shared the gospel, as he spoke and preached of Jesus Christ as Lord, it was from this platform of faith that Paul spoke with unflinching certitude and power. Going back to 2006, we've talked a lot about faith here in this church. Simple two words, trust and dependence. Trust and dependence, that is faith. I hope that is in your heads and in your hearts this morning. And whenever you think about that word faith, your trust and your dependence is in God and God alone. This said, we must understand that while the foundation of Paul's faith was in the past, Paul now goes on to show that the focus of his faith is on the future. The focus of his faith is on the future. So big words there. Focus, faith, future. What strengthened him for the battle and fortified him to preach Christ Jesus in every circumstance was his dynamic certainty and confidence about the future. The future. It will become ever so clear in this passage that what Paul longed for and believed about the future had everything to do with how he lived his life in the present. That's why I said I want you to be thinking about retirement. Retirement. All right? So Paul longed for and believed about the future had everything to do with how he lived in the present. And it is exactly the same for us, for you, me, for this congregation. Our beliefs and hopes for the future exert a control that dictates how we live our present lives today. All right? Very important. Our futures determine the present. What are the futures that you are focused on this morning? What are the futures that you are focused on this morning? That brings us to our first point in this message, confidence in resurrection. Confidence in resurrection. This will take in verses 14 and 15. Subpoint A, under our first point, confidence in resurrection. A, future resurrection. Future resurrection. Let's read verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We see a lot of words in there. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us by Jesus and shall present us with you, Paul says. So, the first reason Paul puts forth for his unflinching preaching amidst the squeezings and the bewilderments and the houndings and the knockdowns of ministry is his utter confidence in the future resurrection. And that's what I want to really put home to us. And I hope that you put this home in your own hearts and lives. Confidence in the future resurrection. Now, let me just stop right there. Let me ask you this question. How much time do you spend thinking about your future resurrection? I'm going to guess, not much. Now, why would I guess that about you? Because I'm just like you. Until I studied this passage of Scripture, I was not focusing on my future resurrection like I ought to be. I mean, the future resurrection is what made Paul tick. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? When I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, I need to be really pushing the resurrection. Because people don't think, you know, when I die, where am I going? What's going to happen to me? They need to be thinking about the future resurrection. The resurrection was, in fact, central to Paul's preaching of the gospel. Let me go back and read a scripture here. And I'm going to read two of them from Acts 26, verses 22 and 3. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first and should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And then Paul's preaching the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We have two parts of the gospel. It is the blood sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and the second is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now here's get this. The resurrection was the triumphant half of the gospel. All right, we have two halves of the gospel. We have the death of Christ, the blood sacrifice. That's the first half. The second half is the triumphant half. He rose again from the dead. No other God did that or ever will. We see Paul's joyous description of the resurrection that includes Jesus, us, and you. And that's what we read in verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And I'm thinking to myself about all this, the resurrection here is, you know what? That right there is a cure for your doubts. The Bible says we will be raised up as well. Bank on it, trust in it, depend on it. The resurrection of the Corinthians is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. That's what Paul's saying here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, sticking in that chapter with two more verses, 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Jesus rose and we are going to rise. Get this, we are only a step behind the Lord Jesus himself. We are just a step behind. He rose, we are going to rise as well. For Paul, this confident hope in the future resurrection is what gave him strength to continue on in the huge battle, to persevere in the battle that he was in and that we're in. Paul's faith in the future resurrection of the dead is the reason he was willing to carry about in his own body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the shipwrecks, all the beatings, the stonings, the whippings, the verbal abuse, the dying of Jesus. He was willing to do that. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our resurrection is sure to follow. So mark that down. Slam it home. Shake it in the devil's face. Paul looks towards heaven, and so he's willing to do what we need to do, die daily. We need to die daily to ourselves. Remember last week, George Mueller? He said, I had to die to George Mueller. I have to die to Mike Mayer. Do that. He's going to reign with Christ, and so he speaks boldly right now. He has all this biblical truth behind him, and so he speaks with strength. Without faith in the future resurrection, Paul's present suffering is meaningless. No resurrection, all we do here, it is meaningless. Without faith in the future resurrection, Paul's present suffering would be meaningless. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. Several verses there. First of all, 17 through 19. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Dropping down in the same chapter to verses 30 to 32. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now I have high school classmates. I'm friends with lots of them on Facebook. And you know what? Most of them are retired, and they're doing just what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. No thought about the future. No thought about the future resurrection. All they're concerned about is the here and the now, and let's have a good time until my body falls apart. And I can't do it anymore. So we can see what Paul believed about the future had everything to do with the way he lived his life. All right? So as he's thinking about the future resurrection, that is determining his life on earth. And as I started, I said, I gained information from great preachers and men who have gone on before me. I'm going to share with you some thoughts right now from them. One pastor said this, I'm afraid that many of us Christians see our future resurrection as a distant, fuzzy event with no relevance for today. Now, I think we're all changing that today. Okay, I've been changing this because I had to get this together. He said, we certainly do not see our future resurrection as the grand cosmic certainty that we will actually share with Christ. And we surely do not believe it with the intensity that Paul did. How and in what terms we conceive of the future is a decisive question. Unbelievers are not thinking about it at all, as I just said. The truth is, for most Christians, the contemplation of retirement trumps the contemplation of their future destiny. For most, eschatology, the study of the last things, is defined by a single word, retirement. Far more energy and thought is given to enhancing the health and wealth of the final 20 years of earthly existence than to eternal existence. Those are hard words, are they not? I never gave that a thought before, ever. Clearly, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the God of heaven is calling us to focus on our future resurrection and exaltation if we have any desire to live our lives today as we should. With that thought in mind, let us go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read this text 1 through 14. It really helps us to see all this very beautifully. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here are the very, very important words that we began with this morning about the four ways that he's looking at things. But we have this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels. That's you and me. We are essentially cracked pots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, a throwaway container, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are, and here's the four, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. What powerful truth. As I was thinking, you know, it's really interesting. If you have the Bible app on your phone, you get a verse of the day. And I kid you not, so many times the verse of the day is applying to my sermon or what's going on in my life today. How does that happen? Divine orchestration. Here's the verse for today. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. I'll tell you what. Let's look at our lives. Let's meditate this week on our future resurrection and let that impact you and motivate you and drive you. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to work through you and you're going to say, glory to God. Impact one person at a time. We can all do that as we submit ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us daily. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this wonderful, wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you use it in our lives today and every day, all the way until we go home to be with you? Father, help us to follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus and Paul, who followed in the steps of Jesus and others right down through the ages. May we be just like Jesus in our life. May we be just like Paul and his following, his faith, his future resurrection emphasis. You can do that for us, in us and through us. Do it mightily. Start it today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.